This is the Relevant Podcast.
It's episode 1111, which is a big deal for all of you numerologists out there. And it's the Relevant Podcast here in Orlando. I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and joining me from Loverland, Virginia, where they have jets flying overhead nonstop, it's Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
From Nashville, Tennessee, artist, producer, mogul, Derek Miner.
What up with it?
And just down the road there, our managing editor, downtown Emily Brown.
Hey, y'all. I'm actually not in Nashville today.
Oh, yeah. Where are you?
I am in Houston, Texas.
You just wanted to go sweat a little?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is like 90 degrees today. No, I have friends that for some reason still want to live in Houston, despite it being 90 degrees in the middle of October.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I made the sacrifice. I'm coming to see him.
And just a little note, Marty is not able to join us today. He is on vacation with his wife in Hawaii. So we figured, leave the gear at home, buddy. He offered to like record from his vacation in Hawaii. I'm like, A, it would be 6 a.m. or 4 a.m.
And B, that's crazy.
Dude, it's fine. So anyway, he's not with us today. We're recording, this is the Tuesday show, but recording on a Friday, a few days early. You guys have any weekend plans or anything coming up? Are you seeing the Taylor Swift movie?
My wife and daughter are going to the Taylor Swift movie tonight with a bunch of girls. But me and my son might go to a pizza place that I frequent. And the reason I like going there, particularly on Friday nights, is they have a new guy. His name is Tony. And he's doing tableside magic and mentalism. And Cameron, we have witnessed tableside mentalism before. That was at a Disney.
Yeah.
That was at a Disney
resort.
That's
premium.
You know,
premium tableside magic.
Top tier.
Top tier tableside.
That was top tier.
Yeah.
I've been at a party where David Blaine was doing up close magic.
That's insane.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen some stuff.
Yeah.
The market for up close magic, street magic, and mentalism. I have no idea what it is right now, but I cannot believe the quality of free magic happening at this pizza restaurant.
No way.
I am telling you, it is. Cameron, you and I have paid good money to see David Copperfield and been profoundly disappointed.
Yes.
It literally embarrassed for him.
Oh, it was awful.
Literally embarrassed for him.
For David Blaine?
No, Copperfield.
Oh,
no,
Copperfield.
Very different David. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm like, dang, David Blaine disappointed.
No, David Blaine's cool. David Blaine's awesome. David Copperfield should have hung it up around when Siegfried and Roy wrapped it up. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
has passed.
You know, I don't know what the market for this for magic is right
in
now.
In Virginia Beach.
I'm gonna be honest.
I'm assuming it's a down market because I mean, my dude's out here at like 4 to 8. At the pizza place, you know.
So he doesn't have a regular 9 to 5. This isn't like a night gig. He can't have a 9 to 5.
No, no, it's not nightly. I'm assuming he goes to restaurants all over. I have seen him at a Mexican restaurant one time.
Oh, it's
lit. His name's Tony.
It's lit.
I think he does like a little circuit.
So he's like Virginia
Beach.
But it's
free.
Yeah, Virginia Beach's tableside magic
guy.
But
Tony. Could he go all the way to Disney?
It's free.
Do you think he has it in him?
I was blown away. I was blown away by some of his. I mean, he's doing cell phone mentalism. He's like, hey, you know, hold your cell phone, Google, like, you know, something. And he tells me what I'm Googling. Like, stuff.
Oh,
I mean, it was great.
Wild.
I'm straight up mind reading stuff, you know, bending coins in your hand. I mean, Cameron, we've seen all this before.
Wild. And I like that.
From our friend Maru Dante, who's been on the show.
How do you remember his name? It was so many years ago.
I have his number in my
phone. Oh, my gosh.
Because remember he came and did the Christmas
special. Yeah, of course. We for the staff Christmas party, rented out a restaurant at Disney Springs, STK. And then afterwards, because a bunch of people came in from out of town, those who came in from out of town wanted to keep hanging out. And so we went across to, you know, a lakeside establishment. And this tableside magician was coming around, blew us away, absolutely blew us away, to the level that Jesse got his number and said, tomorrow we're recording a live Christmas episode of our podcast.
And he
showed up with a live studio audience and did magic on the podcast.
Awesome.
And what was funny is He's doing visual magic on an audio medium. Yes, we were live streaming it. Yes, you could watch the video. But I was aware that the majority of people hearing the show would be listening to the regular audio podcast. So I was doing like a play-by-play, like a golf announcer, as describing what he was doing. You know,
and now it was incredible.
Now she's taking the quarter out, and it's bent in her hand. You know, like No, it was incredible. This is amazing.
But I've tried to get some of Tony's backstory, because every time I've go, I've flagged him, and I always flag him over to the table. He's always in the middle, and I'm waving him down. He knows, because it's free.
Do you tip?
But I'm a good tipper.
Okay, good.
I do, and that's why I get priority. He can be in the middle of a show, and I can be like, wrap it up, Tony. My table. I was out there with my parents the other night. I'm like, my parents are here tonight, Tony. This make
Give
it good.
The old
okay,
dazzle.
This isn't just the normal. This isn't the normal crew. This isn't me and the buds. This isn't me and the fam.
Take it to the next level for me.
You know what to do.
Bring it over, Tony. Yeah. I know you're busy. I know shore break is hopping tonight, but I need you to pop over to the corner booth. We got you know $7 is coming your way.
$7. There you go.
Can I ask how old he is?
It's like 5 minutes. Okay? So you do the math. It's great.
It's a great hourly rate. Yeah.
Yeah, he's making over a dollar a minute here. He's doing fine.
I like
fine,
that you
okay?
know you're going to give him $7. And prior to you telling us the amount that you tipped him, you said, I tip him really well. And I'm like, I was thinking you were slipping him a 20 or something. No,
in
you got
economy?
Seven hard dollars in your palm. Yeah, that's true.
I'm telling you, for 5 minutes of magic, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure the pizza place is, that's on top of whatever the pizza place is paying. And I've tried to pry. I've tried to get some inside info.
No, you're not trying to find out how much my man is making, right?
I need to know, how old is this
man? Not,
like, roughly.
He appears to be, I don't know, between the ages of 25 and 35.
Okay, hey, that's a good age to be hustling in that way. Yeah.
Okay.
But like the dyed hair and the frayed denim vest and the leather and the belts.
Oh, no. He's not a cool 25.
Does he call himself Tony the Terrific?
Listen, no. If you saw this guy walking down the street, you'd be like, that guy does magic. That guy is either... He would either be like... That guy is in like a Hot Topic type of like band, like that just never like evolved from the Hot Topic era, or that guy's a professional tableside magician.
See, now my favorite magician. So I got a homeboy. Shout out to my homeboy out in Cali, Bob the Bible Guy. So when Bob was maybe 26, 27, he looked like he was like 37, like 35. Like, he puts the fedora on, he wears the plaid. Like, I like those kind of magicians that are like, he has the handlebar mustache that's curled up.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like...
That was our Disney guy.
Yeah,
had that kind of
see, like, that, to me, that's the route. Don't do the, like, the black eyelash stuff on your face and the hair dyed jet black and that weird emo stuff. Don't do that, bro. Give me... Young man looking like an old man. One day, you know what I'm saying? We're going to have a Colonel Sanders mustache. I like that kind of magician. You know what I'm saying?
This is like Jimmy Butler on Media Day type of hair situation.
Oh, my
you know
God.
What I mean? Like the swoop. It's the swoop.
I loved that. I thought
it's
he looked
swoop.
Great.
It, so did I. But it's more of like Chris Angel mind freak type of situation.
Chris Angel, that ain't it, bro. That's not it, bro.
His closet is packed full of affliction, is what you're saying. That just to the brim with affliction.
But either way, I'm extremely impressed. He's very, very talented. And I've tried to pry and get information. And all I can ascertain is that I know he has a mentor in Vegas and that he occasionally goes out there to meet with his mentor.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm just very intrigued about this underground world of magic. Because I watch, I think we talked about that episode of Hard Knocks this season where they brought in the mentalist and he was doing like mind reading tricks for the New York Jets. I went online just like everybody else and was Googling how did he do it. I don't know. And the tricks that I've seen at this pizza place, I've gone online and researched and I'm baffled, and I can only ascertain that there's some underground world of magicians from here straight to Vegas that are plotting this stuff up, and they're taking over pizza restaurants across the country. I think it's great. It's great, wholesome family entertainment. You come for the pizza. and stay for the incredible
Jesse. Why do you ruin it? Okay, because you've mentioned that you've done this in the past, where you've mentioned like, I looked it up, da da da. And so I was telling my mom this summer. I was telling my mom about the David Blaine Harrison Ford clip with the card inside the orange.
Yeah,
and how Harrison Ford freaked out, kicked him out of his house, that kind of thing. So I played it for her, you know, to show her what I was talking about. And I, that night, thinking about you, looked it up. How did he do that? And it was explained on the internet. And then I went back and watched it again. And it wasn't nearly as fun because I could kind of see the sleight of hand that led to the result. And I was just like, I liked it better when I couldn't figure it out. You know what I mean? And so, like, why do you ruin it? Why do you want to look? Why do you want the answers? The magic is the mystery.
I mean, how do you not want to know? Right. You know, it's no fun. It's no, like, in the moment, I'm pretty impressed. But then if I can come and be like, Tony, I've seen this one. I know how you're doing it. You know?
Like I'm on your level.
I'm trying to elevate magic.
Magic is supposed to, you're supposed to know that it's all fake, but you're supposed to, you know, it's like watching a movie. Like, we know that movies are fake, but the joy and the wonder is that it takes you somewhere else. I don't want to know how the magic trick is done.
No, because what's going to happen is magicians are going to get lazy. As soon as their trick makes it to the internet, they need to discard the trick. They need
like
to constantly
a comedian
be elevating.
That does a special. Once that special is out there, they have to throw away material.
We're holding the magic. By looking up these tricks online, we are holding the magic community accountable. That's how I look at it.
Okay. Oh, all right. Well, goodness. It's a work of
they're
justice.
They're going to get lazy.
I'm with Jesse on this
one. It's a work of justice.
I like knowing how the trick works.
We don't want the magic community to get lazy. We're keeping them on their toes. I like it. Okay. Well, we have a great show in store for you today. Coming up later, we talked to Brandon Lake, one of our favorite worship artists. He's everywhere. And he has a brand new solo album that just came out a couple days ago that we tell you all about. You don't want to miss that. We also, at the end of the show, it's coming back. We have What's Jesse Thinking? A very special What's Jesse Thinking? Can't wait.
Oh, yes.
But stay tuned. Up next, it's Slices. You're listening to Poolside and Ben Browning. The song is Sea of Dreams.
Where bold women thrive, Sweetbriar College empowers women to lead with purpose and integrity. Our 2,847-acre campus is more than beautiful. It's a place to grow in courage, character, and calling. With hands-on academics, a close-knit community, and spaces like vineyards, greenhouses, and equestrian arenas, Sweetbriar blends tradition with vision. Founded in 1901, we've always believed in the power of women to shape a better world, faithfully, fearlessly, and together. Find out more at sbc.edu.
Okay, it's time for
Slices.
What do you have, Jesse?
All right. Well, speaking of pizza,
are we?
This was like 10 minutes ago. This is called a transition.
Okay,
a
segue. Gotcha.
In the world of podcasting. Okay. Yeah, that we're segueing from magic and pizza discussion and everything else we're discussing today to a study commissioned by a company called Amazon Fresh. And they wanted to, they're evidently very concerned about knowing specific details about America's pizza consumption. I could have done background research about what Amazon Fresh does and why they've commissioned this research, but I've decided not
Amazon
to.
Amazon Fresh is their grocery thing.
It's Amazon, the retail. I thought it was like
Amazon Fresh. When you go on there to buy groceries, you can either buy Whole Foods groceries or Amazon Fresh groceries, which are like normal grocery store groceries.
Oh, well, there you go. That makes sense. Well, either way, they conducted a recent study and they wanted to find a couple things. One is how many pizza slices Americans eat in a year, what frequency they eat pizza, and what is their preferable type of pizza. That one was the most surprising to me. And they compared like bake at home, like DiGiorno, fresh from the oven, like out of a at a restaurant or takeout or delivery.
Okay.
How many slices of pizza do you think Americans eat in a single year?
Like one American eats this.
Wait, slices? Like not how many times slices. They order pizza?
Correct.
So if they order pizza, they eat three slices per pizza. So three slices, maybe they do it once every other week. So I'm going six slices a month. So that would be 72 slices a year, give or take. I don't know.
Not even close. Mm. Not even close. Emily, what's
I'll go big. I'll go 100.
Not even close. Derek, pizza slices per year.
Per person.
So USA. United States of America.
You said not 70, not 100, not even close. So I guess I got to go at least 250.
Split the difference. It's 180 slices a year.
That's crazy.
On average.
Wait a second. So for all of us who maybe eat 40 slices a year, there's somebody eating 300 slices a year.
It's a bell curve.
And, oh, my God.
And on the fringes of it are people with just radical pizza consumption.
Oh, my gosh. That's a lot of pizza.
Well, the thing is, most people, according to the poll, only eat pizza three times a month. Or a minimum.
What?
Is they're eating pizza three times a month. But the thing is, this is what I found surprising. Most people are eating five slices.
Oh, man.
More than one slice. That's crazy.
Yeah.
How big are the slices?
Every time. Like every time they order okay. pizza, so they eat five slices.
Time out, though. Are we talking Chicago slices, New York slices,
thin crust slices?
Because if you go to Emo's,
a 10-inch DiGiorno five slices is not the same as a large Papa John's five slices.
Right.
Yeah.
Math.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. That's
so. What's the number one type of you mentioned restaurant delivery at home, because that would kind of determine the size of the pieces. What's the number one type that they consume?
Well, the number one I found again, I feel like this would be dead last, and this isn't even what they consume most. This is what their preference is.
Okay.
According to this, most people prefer ready to bake pizza, like DiGiorno.
But yes.
Okay, I'm actually going to come in defense of this. I see the preference from a financial standpoint. I can get a nice frozen pizza from Kroger for like $6 or $7. If I were to order it from like
Little Caesars, $5.55.
Okay. It has to be said, Little Caesars is not good pizza, right. So we're just going to leave it at that.
Well, I'm just saying, if you're just talking value, I mean,
well, you know, value,
it's hot and ready.
Value,
you don't even have to
buck.
Order it and wait. You just pop in and grab it. You know,
I ain't gonna lie. Papa Murphy's do their thing.
But okay, like you're spending more than $6 or $7 for one pizza.
Yeah, sure. If you go to a real pizza place, the wood fire, brick fired, blah blah blah, you're in $25 on a large pie.
Yeah, double digits easily.
Because it's real food, good quality ingredients. You know, Papa John's, you can get a $9.99 special most of the time for a large. But
DiGiorno to me, it's
gross.
It's gross, and it's one of those things where it's most people aren't eating DiGiorno, like it's never planned. It's like, oh man, it's 11:30. I'm super hungry, and I got to throw something in. Thank God I got a DiGiorno in the back of the fridge. It does the job.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, it's technically pizza, but it's.
But no one's ever like, I gotta be honest, it feels like a DiGiorno pizza.
Listen, if you accidentally ate the cardboard bottom that they put at the bottom of the DiGiorno, some people wouldn't even know.
It caught on fire. That'd be the only way you know that you left it on there, you know, is because the oven burned it. Yeah. You know?
But either Taste-wise, way, that's the consistency of DiGiorno crust, which, by the way, I've always had a massive problem with DiGiorno marketing, a huge problem with
Why?
Because it's not delivery. It's DiGiorno. No one in the history of pizza consumption, not one
confused
time,
yeah,
has someone brought out a DiGiorno pizza and be like, oh, I didn't hear the delivery guy come. Where did you get this from? Was Domino? No one.
Oh, you have an old DiGiorno in the bottom of your freezer. Yeah, great. Thanks.
No one has ever mistaken a DiGiorno for delivery. It's like, yeah, no duh, Sherlock. Everyone in here heard you preheat the oven, for one. We smelled it. And two, this taste and looks, I could visually tell you this was not a delivery. Like, any other marketing slogan would work.
Right.
But how dumb do they think we are? You know what I mean? I'm sorry.
DiGiorno's, it's better than the other options. You know, that kind of thing.
Here's another idea. Because, last on the list were on the preferential list. It went frozen, restaurant, delivery. I think we can get delivery up higher. Here's how. I'm gonna tie a big bow on all
the
of
delivery
this.
Person if does some we, magic when they come to the door.
Yes, yes. And your tip is based on the quality. Wouldn't you be more inclined if hey, do you guys want me to order some Little Caesars or some Domino's? I don't know. Listen, he's going to read your mind. He's going to do a sweet mind reading trick. Get a deck of cards, okay? Just trust me. It's going to be worth it. I think it's a fantastic idea, and I'm going to pitch
man,
it.
Man, when I was in college, I can't even remember the name of the pizza, but the pizza was $1 for a whole pizza, and I used to destroy it. That's probably why I have eczema right now. I can't remember the name.
I mean, there were multiple times in college my friends and I went to CC's Pizza because...
Is it Tony's? Was it Tony's? Tony's Pizza. I think that's what it was. You could get all these little pizzas. Like, me and my partners would just grab one. We'd all get one pizza a piece, and that's how we would survive.
Back in the day, it was four bucks. I would sit there... Yeah, I know it's not anymore, but like when I would go, it was $4. And I would get $30 worth of pizza pasta and salad and desserts. I would just be like, how are they in business? Like everybody there is doing what I'm doing. Like you go to CeCe's to load up. And it's like, how is it $4? Bucks? I don't get it. I know it's not anymore.
They filed for bankruptcy. So my friends and I, we did go last year to try it out.
Dang,
we were just talking
laughing.
About it.
I'm
and we were
laughing.
Like, we found a coupon where it was like buy one, get one free. So like one of us didn't have to pay and the other one paid, it was $6.99. Like it was so cheap.
Yeah.
And so we went, got way too much food. We felt horrible for like hours afterwards. It made us so sick. Yeah. But we were looking like the whole time we were like, I don't understand how this is in business. Yeah. They filed for bankruptcy a couple years ago. No surprise.
Well, I think COVID is what knocked them out because you couldn't do buffets and that was their entire business.
Yeah.
So. Hey, they're still in the projects though. The little spot over
in
Antioch.
I think they got bought out though.
Around the corner. Yeah. It's bussing too. People be over there.
For $6.99, if it didn't make me feel like I was on the brink of death,
you're leaving full.
I'd go back.
You're leaving sick, but you're leaving full. And you got a family, you got kids, they got little games in the corner. I mean, it's like good spot.
I've never left not feeling absolutely awful.
Right.
And I eat terribly.
And
like it is.
Yeah,
and if you go and you're
Bell,
like,
this so
is
true, that Jesse. Is, that's
and if you go like, and you have the mindset that like, I don't want to overdo it. I'm just going to have my normal portions or, you know, whatever food. You're sitting there thinking I'm wasting like just as a value proposition, I'm wasting so much food and you go and get more just to get your money's worth, you know, like, and then you leave sick.
Anyway. Yeah. You feel obligated to eat to the point of pain.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you can, because it's there. Yeah. Exactly.
I'm not going to lie. On the
this
way
the
back,
most American.
I laid down in the back seat because I was like, I do not feel good. I was like staying with my two friends and I was like, we got to get home. Like this is something's wrong here. And we all were feeling that way.
Somebody help
like,
me.
My friend was in the passenger seat. She was like leaned her chair back. Her husband was like driving as fast as he could. Cause we all were like, I just want to like lay down.
Y'all are
you're
sweating.
Like, you're sweating grease. You're just sweating grease.
That's how it felt. Like it was, and it was like, I remember now why I stopped going to CC's. One, cause I have real money. And two, because I don't need to feel like this anymore.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. All right. What do you have, Derek?
Yeah. Well, staying in the food world, California has just banned a chemical that they use in Skittles, hot tamales, Pez, and all those different things. So at first, I was going to take this time to slam dunk on California. But as I read the article, because, you know, sometimes California can be OD. But when I read the article, it made a lot of sense. So literally, they bring up a package of Skittles from Europe, and they're like, you can make Skittles without the chemicals that you're putting in this. So
because they're banned, and those chemicals are banned in Europe.
Banned in other countries, right?
Yeah.
So there, and then it was crazy because I saw a post earlier, and I think someone said, there's thousands of chemicals that we as U.S. consumers eat that are banned in other countries, which is crazy because this is the richest country in the world, right? So why in the world is our food consumption so bad, the things that we're consuming. So, hey, shout out to California for taking a stand on this. And I hope that it becomes a trend that we start getting this stuff out of our food.
One of the ones that they're banning aside from Skittles is hot tamales, because it has the same red dye thing that's, you know, a carcinogen. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, in college, I consumed an ungodly amount of hot tamales.
Man.
Like my entire insides were coated with a gelatinous coating from how many hot tamales I ate. And I'm going, did I just give myself cancer one day? I mean, like, I'm literally reading about this too. And I'm going, I have eaten so many hot tamales in my life.
Anyway. Yeah, man.
But I've just decided not to worry about all of this, because I feel like every couple months I just had some work done at my house and people are like, oh, you didn't put in that type of flooring. It's got chemical, you know, they make you cut that outside. It's got what is it? What isn't poison these days? Like, what? Tell me where I can go free of poison.
But that's the thing. You can leave the U.S. is what, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the sad part about it is, everywhere we go, there's carcinogens and toxins in almost everything, not because they have to be, not because we can't have those things without that. It's because our country is so greedy that these companies lobby to keep their bottom lines in check, even at the expense of the health of Americans. So I'm like, man, that's trash. That's terrible. Like, it shouldn't be that way.
I was talking to my sister-in-law about this last week. She recently had to give up gluten because she's just developed a pretty bad intolerance to it. But I have so many friends that have like gluten intolerances or just like allergies to certain foods in America who go to other countries and they can eat the food just fine. And it's like,
yes,
they eat the bread and everything over in France.
And it's like don't feel the way that they do in America. And it's because, like American companies, they add all these chemicals to it, which, and I think it's because it's like easier to mass, it makes it easier to mass produce. Like, that's kind of the justification for it. But it's like, I would rather you take a little bit extra time to not inject cancer into me if it means that, like, I don't know. It's, I get what you're saying, Jesse, of like everything is terrible for everything. But
what I'll say this, the other solution is like, listen, if you tone down the hue of that red Skittle, I'm probably not going to notice. I would much rather have it not be as vibrant of a red Skittle and not have it be poison.
Exactly.
You know, I'll take a burgundy Skittle versus, you know,
pastel yellow Skittle. You know what I'm saying?
I'm still buying the Skittles. I'm still Skittling.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm watching the clock.
They can all be one color. Yeah.
I'm watching the clock. Little production note. Emily, we're running out of time for this segment, so hold on to your slice. We'll do it next show, okay?
Is that
cool? All right. That'll do it for Slices. Stay tuned up next. Brandon Lake joins us. You're listening to Wande. The song is In the Light. Well, today's episode is brought to you in part by Sanctuary Mental Health Ministries. Mental health and faith are big topics to cover, even more so when you're talking with teenagers. The Sanctuary Youth Series helps youth leaders, pastors, teachers, and parents break it down, covering topics like a theology of mental health, emotions, stigma, recovery, friendship, self-care, and more. The Sanctuary Youth Series is an 8-week resource designed for 11 to 15-year-olds. Help the next generation experience the church as a supportive space for mental health. Run the Sanctuary Youth Series today at sanctuarymentalhealth.org/relevant. Again, that's sanctuarymentalhealth.org/relevant. Are you a recent college grad or about to graduate from college and have no idea what's next? Check out the Global Ambassador Program, or GAP, with ELIC. GAP is a professional development program that will help you gain the tools you need for a lifetime of impact. Be immersed in the cultures of Thailand, Tunisia, or Uzbekistan for 9 months as you take language classes, grow in your faith, and serve the local community alongside a team of other Christian young professionals. And get this, ELIC recently opened applications for 2026. You could be on a plane next summer, impacting lives and reaching your fullest potential. To learn more about GAP and take the next step, go to elic.org/relevant. That's elic.org/relevant. Well, our guest today is Brandon Lake. He's one of our favorite worship leaders with songs like Graves in the Gardens with Elevation, and Gyra with Maverick City Music. He just dropped his third solo album called Coat of Many Colors on Friday. So we caught up with him to talk about his new music, why he feels like he's living in a dream, and how he keeps those dreams alive. Here's our conversation, Brandon Lake.
What inspired you to make this album?
Well, I'm a father and I'm also a son. And the story of Joseph has always stuck out to me, especially being someone at a young age that was given a dream that felt so heavy and maybe it's even hard to still put into words, that it was hard to share that dream with other people without it sounding cocky or overly confident, you know? And even though I had dreams in my heart that I didn't necessarily express to other people, I had people prophetically speak words over me that I would write songs one day that would travel the nations and that would impact people. I would lead worship in rooms the size of arenas. And that was never something that I felt like I could accept. It was like too good for me to accept or to believe, you know, but like deep down, I wanted to, because my heart has always been to be, I want to have huge influence for the sake of reaching people for Jesus. Cause I know what he's done for me. And if I'm here to be used by him, you know, first and foremost to worship God, but secondly, to be his church and to reach other people, well, then why wouldn't I want to do that, you know, and have massive influence? And I resonate with the story of Joseph in that he was given dreams, and when he shared them, it got him in trouble, you know? And then I love the analogy of, or just the picture of that, you know, that coat of many colors that covers us, it covers our sin and our shame. And when you put on this coat of many colors, if you will, you know, it's like you may have gone through the pit, but when you put on the identity of Christ, how your Father sees you, you look like royalty. And I think people need to start seeing themselves more in the coat of many colors than they do see themselves in what they may think they like, what the pit has made them look like. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think what I'm hoping to do with these songs is remind people who they are, who God has called them to be, and give them faith to live that out every day.
You know, I'm curious, you mentioned like you would share this dream and sometimes it would not be always received well. And I think that's a lot of people's experiences. How did you find a way to keep that dream alive and like to keep hoping in it?
Yeah, I think real community, people that, so people often ask me, how do you stay healthy? And one of my favorite answers is find people who are proud of you, but not impressed by you. That's how I stay healthy. In the sense of humility, that's how I stay humble. But it's also how I stay confident in who God's called me to be, is this community, these people, my people. I read a chapter out of a book by Chris Vallotton one year. I can't even remember what the book was called, but the chapter was called My People. And I remember God so specifically and so beautifully speak to me in that season where I felt like I needed to find my people. Read that chapter and was like, I need to get back around people that really understand me and that love me and are going to champion me, but also call me out when I'm wrong. They're not afraid of that. And I think community is everything. I mean, it's like Moses needed Aaron and Hur to keep his arms up, right? When the battle was raging in the Bible, we read that story. And every time his bros held his arms up, the battle, they were victorious. And when his arms began to weaken, they begin to lose. And I've had to find those people in my life when the others who didn't understand me and thought I was prideful or thought X, Y, Z, whatever it is, didn't just not even like thought I was prideful necessarily, but just misunderstood me. Mm. You know, that's a tough thing to handle, especially when they're church folk, you know, there's people in the church and you're like, I'm not trying to like build my own thing. I just know that God has spoken something over me and I'm just trying to take the next step. And luckily I've had enough people in my life I can come back to, or surround myself like I am surrounded now, that can keep my arms up and encourage me to keep going. And so my wife being probably the ultimate person in that picture. So thankfully I have those people.
I would say it seems like that dream has become a reality now. So what has it been like for you to walk in the reality of that fulfilled dream?
Honestly, it is mind blowing that God didn't just give me my dreams. He exceeded them. Mm-hmm. And my life scripture is Ephesians 3:20. God is able to do immeasurably more than anything we ask or imagine, according to the power that he's placed inside of us. We are his game plan A, right? We are option A of reaching the world. We are the hope of the world, the church, being the church. And so why wouldn't he want to do amazing things through us, right? To reach his people, to reach his children. He didn't just give me my dreams. He exceeded them. And that's a pretty hard thing to realize day to day. I often ask myself this question to my manager or to my family. I'm like, how do I take this in? How do I cherish it in the moment? And I don't know that it's possible. I was happy just leading worship. I remember my greatest dream really a few years ago was just to be the worship leader at my church and to lead worship at, and well, I guess it's been quite a few years, but when I was a teenager, it was just to lead worship in adult church, right? And then it was, I just want to write songs for my church. And then it was, I want to write a song that, like these prophetic words that would be spoken over me, I want to write a song that like multiple churches would sing, you know? And so to now be leading worship in arenas and to have songs that, and I say this humbly, but it's the truth, like at the top of the charts and are consumed by millions of people, it is a weighty responsibility and an amazing thing to celebrate that God has allowed me to be a part of that. And me and my family, you know, we just are trying to enjoy that. Our family is our first ministry, and so we try to realize like that's what comes first, and we celebrate our family and then how God's moving through our family with my team, my label, with the songwriters I write with. We have moments where we celebrate, and it just feels like, I don't know. I mean, not to be cheesy, but gratitude, I'm grateful, is probably my biggest song, and it's just what I come back to. I'm grateful that I sing it every single time I lead worship, because I'm like, that's my heart. That's my answer. How do I deal with this? How do I feel about it? That song, that's how I feel about it. That kind of sums up everything. I don't have words for it. They fall short when I try to describe the kindness of God. So.
What was it like making this album? Because this is your third solo album.
Yeah.
So what was this journey like for this project?
Well, I turned in 50-something songs. Okay. So a lot of songs. And ironically, the first song we decided to release and take to radio was a song that didn't have a second verse or a bridge. I'm like, I have 50 something songs and you guys want to pick the one that's not finished. So I went back and I finished it and we're like, all right, let's get it ready. And Praise You Anywhere came out. And we felt like it was a great song for the church and for radio. And that one's been really fun to lead. And as I begin to write, and then especially record this record, it became the most diverse thing I've ever created. There is a song, man, I promise you, it's like every genre is represented on this record. I've got R&B, God Is Not Against Me is like a R&B vibe. I've got beautiful, you know, like falsetto worship songs, like Nothing New. I've got CCM, like adoption song. I've got Country Psalm, which is a straight up country song that I just was like, I want to write a modern day song, but in the context of how my family lives, which is out in the country now. And so there's everything in there. And I think it was so fitting to title it Coat of Many Colors because there is every color and expression of worship on this record. And that is one thing that if you followed my journey, I have been a part of many things. I like to express worship, everything from rowdy to reflective. And that is represented on this record. And so creating it was a whirlwind and it was moments of, you know, ecstatic praise and excitement and screaming my head off to bawling my eyes out and having a moment of like intense reflection and gratitude for how good God has been to me. And so, yeah, there's screaming guitars, but then there's also beautiful strings and there's all kinds of stuff. And so I love that on this record, I feel like I explored every place on the spectrum of what worship is. And I hope people enjoy that.
That was Brandon Lake. Make sure to check out his brand new solo album. It's called Coat of Many Colors, and it came out just a few days ago. Fly away, oh glory, fly away. Hallelujah, by and by. You're listening to Forrest Frank and Holvey. The song is Away. What if you could change a child's life with just $10? Right now, thousands of vulnerable children in East Africa are suffering from jiggers. It's a painful, preventable parasite that burrows into their feet. Soul Hope is the only organization treating it through foot washing, medical care, and durable closed-toed shoes that protect kids long after treatment. $10 may not seem like much in today's world, but when we come together, those small gifts add up to big change. Join the 10 for 10 campaign. $10 protects 10 small toes. Visit soulhope.org/10 to give now. One small gift makes a big difference. Again, that's soulhope, soulehope.org/TEN. Today's show is brought to you in part by the new documentary, Buying Her. Why is sex trafficking a multi-billion dollar industry? Sex buyers. To end trafficking, we need to put them in the spotlight. The documentary Buying Her, created by the organization Exodus Cry, is a first-of-its-kind film exposing the truth about sex buyers. It captures the unfiltered stories of men revealing how they became predatory consumers and the booming sex trade, and how some of them found redemption. Buying Her strikes at the very heart of sex trafficking, and it's available to watch now for free at buyingher.com. Okay, at long last, it's back. It's time for... All right. What are you thinking about this week, Jesse?
All right. I'm thinking about justice, and I'm thinking about our duties as citizens and neighbors. Cameron, I know you've always been fascinated with the concept of citizen's arrest.
Well, ever since Barney Fife got arrested the Andy Griffith Show, citizen's arrest because he did an illegal U-turn in the middle of Mayberry.
And essentially, it seems like an urban myth. It doesn't seem like you can actually place someone under citizen's arrest without actually violating the law yourself. Yeah. It seems like a very bad idea to try to apprehend someone. But there is someone who's found interesting middle ground, and he has a very popular YouTube channel. The type of citizen justice he is trying to enforce is very specific. And it is people who do not return shopping carts to the shopping cart corral. Are you guys familiar with the YouTube channel Cart Mark?
I am, actually.
No, that's crazy. Put me on.
Say goodbye to your afternoon then, because
I have strong feelings about this. Like Stan Van Gundy, my favorite NBA coach of all time, former coach of the Magic. He's very opinionated on Twitter, and he randomly last year tweeted like there are two types of people in the world. Like the ones who care about others and return their carts, and the ones who are selfish and greedy and don't care about their fellow man and don't return their carts. Like he's like, this is the dividing line of society. If you're a cart returner or not. Okay. And I agree with him.
Well, then
you agree with him.
I agree with him. Like, why are you so self-absorbed that you're just going to leave your cart wherever you want when there's a corral right there? You can't go 15 feet and just help out your fellow man, protect the cars, help the worker. Come on, man.
I do have a counterpoint to that, and then I'll get back to Cartnark. As a former Kmart employee, it was the best when the manager was like, hey, I need you to go rally. I need to go wrangle all those carts. They're all over the place. Here's why. Because people will leave them all over the shopping center, and they're not even checking to see how long you're gone. You're just out for a pleasant stroll through the parking lot. I could take an hour to rally these things. I'll pop in Subway. I'd be like, yeah, I'll take care of the carts. You're not going to believe it, man. They left them halfway across the street. I'd be popping in other stores in the strip mall, grabbing a little 6-inch meatball, and then I'll rally them up. It was great. I actually liked. Real talk. It was ask me if I'd rather spend half hour at a cash register or half hour walking around a parking lot just at a casual pace picking up carts.
Well, you don't live in Florida. I can guarantee you, you would not be enjoying being outside for an hour.
Me, I like being outside. Yeah. Either way, all right. But Cartnark is putting an end to this.
Oh,
he has this rogue YouTube channel, and it's great. And it's like it's shot from his perspective, like basically kind of GoPro style. Mm-hmm. Okay, and he has like an orange light that he waves people down. Okay. You know, when he makes the determination that they're the ones who did not return the cart. And then he has a big
wait, like air traffic, like those air traffic guys down at the airport.
Yeah, so he looks official.
Half a million subscribers, bro. This is crazy.
That's what I'm saying. And he'll wave the people down. Yes, and he'll wave the people down
after they've driven away. They're driving away. He stops their car.
A lot of times people sitting in the car.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
They haven't left yet.
And I mean, he's got tons of videos, so sure. I'm sure that scenario's happened. But he waves him down, and he looks very official, because I think he's got a vest on and all that. So if you saw this guy come and wave him with the sticks, okay? But then he does his signature move. He has, like, this circular magnet that says Cartnark on it, and it has a red shopping cart on it. And he frisbees it, and it lands on the hood of the car. And that's when he tells them they've been
stopped
by the car.
He throws like a rubber disc onto their car and they stop.
It's like a magnet. It's a magnet.
Like a
kitchen.
Does it mess the paint up? Does it mess the paint up?
No,
just a little decal magnet. It's like a kitchen. It's like a refrigerator magnet. Gotcha. Yeah. He frisbees it, stuck on there, and then they've been cartnarked. They're not. After watching a lot of these. If someone waves you down, you can drive away. If someone throws a magnet on your car,
you're stopping.
You're probably pretty confused about what's happening. And it's like, well, this seems official. Yeah. And there's a big shopping cart magnet on my car. Yeah. What am I going to do?
Are they furious?
And then
Are the people furious?
It depends. Sometimes. Yeah. It depends. Some people are contrite. A lot of times people are outraged, and he does not care. And he has a whole spiel that he does, and he shames them.
Good.
He straight up shames
them. To
their face.
And he
posts, and he posts the shameful videos on the internet. Now, I will say this. Sometimes people are contrite. Does that prevent him from posting the videos? No. You're going to be cart-narked. Sorry. It's going to happen. You're going to be publicly shamed, but at least don't look bad. Okay. So awesome. I don't know how I feel about this.
I like it.
Part of me thinks it's great. Part of me thinks I think we need more cart narks. I think you should start a whole deal and send out the sticks and the magnet to cart narks and cities
like
all over the
country. Oh, you go to cartnark.com and buy your own cart nark kit, and it becomes a movement.
I'm surprised he doesn't have
sort of
merch
this underground.
This does.
Yeah,
like
he should do this. He should provide a cart nark kit: the vest, the little flashlights with the orange, and then the some magnets.
And if I found myself a foul of the law and needed to do community service, I'd be like, Your Honor, volunteer me for 2 weeks of cart nark duty. Yeah. I will do 48 hours of community service at my local Walmart, and 100%.
I would not confront people at Walmart. I would go to the Whole Foods parking lot and do it. Walmart, you're getting beat up.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Say, confronting people at Walmart is like confronting people at Waffle House. You just don't do that.
I'll go to the Whole Foods parking lot for my community service.
Well, he goes all over. He goes all over his town. And I think it's a great YouTube channel. I think he's doing a great service, and I think he's inspiring others to when you see something, say something. You know, it comes down to that. We be the change you want to see in the world, right?
I like
he
it.
Took
get
that
out
to
there,
heart.
Get out there with the vest. With the orange sticks, the lights, and the magnet, and go confront people.
But if you have the orange vest and the orange sticks, you could do a lot. You could do a lot of things. You know, it's not just cart wrangling that you could. I mean, you would look official putting it into a whole lot of societal ills.
What would you do?
If you were
in the vest?
I'm trying to think. Like
when I was in high school, we were at Advance Auto Parts one day, and just kind of seeing what they had. And they had this orange siren that you see, like the utility company use. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Like on top of the car. This one had a coily cord that plugged into a cigarette lighter. And you could roll down your window, and it had a huge magnet on it. And you could slap it on the roof of your car.
I bought the same one, but it was blue. Do the math. Looks like a cop.
I didn't even know that was legal.
It's not, but I had one in high school, and I would stick it on the top of my
little... out of the way. People would clear out of the
100%.
Way 100%.
Is that not illegal?
I had very dark tinted windows. Of course it's illegal. I had very dark tinted windows. I had a white sedan, and I would put this blue flashing light on my roof sometimes.
No,
and
you would
get out of my
not,
way.
Bro.
100%.
No, you would not.
I'm about to make a citizen's arrest on this podcast.
Yes, you should go to jail. You're supposed to go to jail for that, bro.
I had a little disco ball hanging from my rearview mirror. I had a blue flashing light.
No,
I was a menace. I had 12-inch kicker subs in my trunk. I was like, I had the weirdest little car, man. Yeah, absolutely, I would do that.
You should have rolled up and cart-narked in that thing. You know,
it looks like the security car. It was like a little white Dodge Spirit in the early 90s. That's what it was.
Wait,
my car.
I do want to see cart-nark go after a cop. Like if a cop left a cart or something like
an off-duty cop.
What would that interaction be?
I have a lot of questions for cart nark. I want to know what kind of interactions you have with law enforcement. I want to know what the proprietors of these shopping centers think. I want to know some tips for if I were to cart nark in my own town. I think we need to try to get cart nark on. I think we need to have a cart nark episode.
I love it.
Do we know his real name?
It doesn't matter.
Cart nark. Let's get him on the show.
That's what we'll call him.
I think we need to have him on, and I think it's the entirety of an episode, the cart nark story.
The cart nark story, like how did his origin story.
Or at least
story.
A segment.
His origin
at
story.
At least a 10-minute segment.
I like it.
A minimum 10-minute
segment. What's your first
segment.
Question for him going to be?
I would first say, thank you, sir. You're a great American.
I'd say, who hurt
and then,
you? Who hurt you?
Yeah. Yeah. What inspired this? What befell you at a shopping center parking lot?
Something
did you
had
hit
to
a cart
him
one time? Did a cart nick your new car?
I guarantee it.
I
guarantee it.
We got to get to the bottom of this. The cart narc story.
All right. Well, that'll do it for...
What's Jesse thinking? Huh?
Well, before we wrap things up, I want to thank Brandon Lake for joining us today. Make sure to check out his brand new solo album, his third one, called Coat of Many Colors. It came out just a few days ago. Also, check out more of that conversation over at relevantmagazine.com. Speaking of the site, when you're there, make sure to get all the info about Relevant Plus. It is our ad-free, unlimited way to experience our content. You get unlimited reading and ad-free reading at the website. You get a beautifully designed, enhanced digital magazine and an ad-free version of this podcast, plus more. Plans start as low as $250 a month, and it's the best way to get our content. Also, make sure to follow us on the socials. Check the website every day for the latest at the intersection of faith, culture, and everything in between. And on that note, we'll wrap it up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Emily Brown.
I'm Derek Miner.
We'll see you on Friday. Have a great week, everyone.
Listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
This is like Jimmy Butler on Media Day.
Relevant Podcast Network.